Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 78. We'll read verses 37 through 41 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 78, verses 37 through 41. Psalm 78, 37 through 41. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? Let's finish on verse 41 together. Ready? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you for a place called church where we as your people get to gather as family and listen to the man of God teach us your word. Father, please, may we focus our hearts, our minds, all of our attention, when we don't realize how big it is. Eternity hinges on tonight. I pray that you'd help our preacher, help us to listen so that we get from him what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The Bible says in Psalm 78:41, yea, they turned back and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. About a week ago, I had been using my pickup truck to pull a trailer behind it. Out at my house, there's a hill in my driveway that leads up to my house. Well, I needed to park my truck on that hill. So, I parked the truck. Something I rarely ever need to do is to push that pedal down that is for the emergency brake. Never have to use it. Well, I pushed the emergency brake pedal down to make sure the emergency brake was on. Shut the door, went in the house, wasn't thinking a thing of it. Went to bed, woke up the next morning, got ready to come into the church. Went out, unlocked my truck, got in the truck, put it in drive, got ready to drive, and it wasn't going very well. I'd forgotten to take that emergency brake off. I figured we'll push this thing along. I don't let anything stop me. I don't know what the problem is here. We don't have any energy. We don't have any power. We're not going very far. Now, believe me, I'm glad I figured it out when I did, because if not, I would have drove anyway. I would say, we're going forward here. I'm a pretty determined fellow when it comes to when I'm going somewhere. Then it occurred to me. That light right there, that idiot light saying emergency brake, is trying to tell me something. But you know, that old truck didn't have any horsepower. Well, it did, but I had put the brakes on. I had limited that truck. I'm the one that stopped the truck. Was it that the truck did not run well? No, it ran fantastic. Was it that the truck did not have the oomph to get going? Not at all. Was the truck out of power? No. Was it out of gas? No. What was the problem? Me. Listen to this verse. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You see, God's purposes are often frustrated by man. God would do more for us if we would just let him. To limit God means setting bounds on his desired operations. Sometimes I think we tie his hands. We limit God when he offers us deliverance by certain means, and then we reject that means. Jesus invites the lost to him, but does not force them to receive him. And if they reject his invitation, they have limited salvation in their life. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, but we must open it. And if we don't, we have limited him. Does that mean he can't save? No, it means that we keep him from saving. Does that mean he does not have power? No, it means we don't let him use his power. The human race has the ability to limit God. Doesn't make God anything less than what God is. It makes us dumb. makes us the guilty party. As far as I know, this word limited is used exactly like that only one time in the entire Bible. Part of the definition of limited means to bring pain. In other words, when we limit him, it hurts him. But I'll promise you this, when we limit him, it causes him pain and it causes us pain. Let's make sure that you and I do not hinder his work. Let's make sure that we don't slow God down. It may be time for somebody in here to take your emergency brake off and let the horsepower of the power of God, let it loose in your life. You're wondering why you're struggling along like you are. It's not God. You say, I just wish God would. Well, God's just wishing you would. You say, now there's some things I wish God would take care of. It may be God's waiting on you to take care of some things. The Bible tells us, and you know, if you think about it, the great work that God could do for man and with man, if it were not for man, there's some things that God would like to do for us. You say, what's the problem? Us. It's us. Let me give you some ideas about this thought where it says they limited God. I think we limit God because of our lack of faith. The Bible says in Matthew 17:20, it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I think we limit God because of our lack of faith. This story here, a man came to Jesus, and that man had a lunatic son. Some of you are saying, so what's the big deal? I've got a lunatic son too. But a man had come to Jesus, his son was lunatic. The Bible says in this story of Matthew 17, the boy would throw himself into the fire and then the boy would throw himself into the water. This man came to Jesus and he said, I brought my boy to your disciples, but they could not help him. They could not heal him. Jesus on the spot rebukes the devil and the boy is suddenly cured. Jesus turns to those disciples that were there and he scolds them for their lack of faith. You know, the Bible says greater works are available to us, but the problem is we have a lack of faith. And then he goes into a little dissertation with those disciples and he said, if you had faith of the grain of mustard seed, you could have done this. They could have done it, Jesus was saying, but they didn't. What happened? They limited Jesus. They limited him. They had a lack of faith in his power and a lack of faith in what he could do. God could have used those disciples to take care of that boy, but it was not a lack of power on God's part. It was a lack of faith on the disciples' part. They limited God's use of them because of a lack of faith. How many times could have you done it, but you didn't? And it wasn't because God wasn't willing to use you. It was because you had a lack of faith. We didn't trust God enough to start and do those new things that God wants us to do. We fear launching into the deep spiritual waters so God can use us. Do you limit him by not going soul winning? You know, he could use you in a powerful way to transform a life. But do you limit him because of a lack of faith? You're fearful about going soul winning. Do you limit him by not having enough faith to go work on that bus route? Do you limit him by not having that faith to get started in Bible college? And again, let me say, when it was time for me to go to Bible college, I knew that God had called me into the ministry and I needed to get my training, and I decided I was going to get my training. And folks, we can't make it much easier now. We have our own Bible college right here. There are daytime classes and nighttime classes. Some of you that have been called to God and you know you have, it's time for you to dig in and make it happen and stop making excuses. And hey, don't you limit God. God wants to use you, but your lack of faith is going to keep it from happening. You see, we can limit God. How? By a lack of faith. I think there's some of you, God has forgiven you. You messed up and you asked God to forgive you and he forgave you, but you have a lack of faith in his forgiveness. So you're limiting him using you. God is able. God is able, and he asks that we place our faith in his ability. And when we don't, we limit what he could have accomplished for us and through us. How? How could we limit God? By a lack of faith. Does that mean God does not have the strength to do what needs to be done? No, God has all the strength to do anything that needs to be done. The problem is man has a lack of faith in that strength. Secondly, I think we can limit God by our shallow and selfish prayers. Man limiting God Oh, God is as able as ever to answer prayer, and He is as desirous. The problem is, it's the prayer, not the one to whom we're praying. James chapter 4, verse number 3 says, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Oh, let me remind all of us of the story of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18. A Pharisee goes down to the church to pray. When he gets there, he brags on himself in his prayer. He tells God how he's better than all the other people around him. And God's very disappointed in the way that man was praying. Another man, a man by the name, they call him the publican. That publican, he very humbly prays. He humbly prays. And God says the humble man will be exalted. But that stingy man and that arrogant man, his, according to God, that he, the Bible says that that man will be brought low. Now what's happening here? I think there are times when you and I limit what God wants to do because of our lack of prayer and because of our misuse of this thing called prayer. For instance, I think we limit God by not using the tool of prayer. We just don't pray. Now, God told us to ask and that we could receive. And if we don't ask, that doesn't mean God does not want us to receive. But the way He wants this done is you ask and then He gives. And if we won't ask, then He can't give. What have we done? We've tied the hands of God. We want to give the impression that we pray, but we don't. Hey, have you limited God in your life because you just don't pray? You know, there's more to prayer than just praying over your breakfast. There's more to prayer than coming to church three times a week and hearing the people from this platform pray. You're to pray. You're to pray. You're to ask God. And there are some of you, you are limiting God in your life because you don't pray. Oh, the thing of fasting and prayer, what it can accomplish. You know, many of you that seek financial counseling, can I advise you on something? Let me ask you a question, though I don't know exactly who will answer it in your mind. Let me ask you something. How much time have you spent fasting and prayer about your financial situation? Well, I tried to solve the problem. I think you ought to try everything you can to solve the problem. But if I were you, I'd bring the great problem solver into it. We limit God. Why? We don't pray. We limit God because of the way we do pray. We pray that God will give us our will instead of His. When you start praying that God give you your will instead of His will, you're limiting God. You're limiting God. We tell Him what we want. We tell Him what we want to do with our life. We tell Him what we want in life. We pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. My will be done. My will be done. The average person is busy praying about the will that they have for their life and have never considered the fact that the reason they're not getting what they want is because it's what they want instead of what God wants. And we limit God because of the way we pray. We limit God because we don't pray, and then we limit God because we pray about our will for our life instead of God's will for our life. And then I think sometimes in our prayer life, we just become stingy. The Bible says here, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. To consume this answer upon our own lust. In other words, we limit God by praying for those things our flesh desires instead of the things of the Spirit. What have we done? We are asking amiss. We have asked and we're limiting God because we ask for something and then we want to consume that something upon our own lust. I believe our prayer life has something to do with how much God uses us and how much God moves in our lives. If you don't pray, you've limited God. If you pray, but it's all about what you want instead of what God wants, you've limited God. If you pray in a stingy fashion, most people, the average person that prays, it's all for themselves. It's all about me, mine, or what I need. But we need to learn to pray for others. Stinginess always limits the Christian, and a stingy prayer limits God in working in their life. And so, we could limit God. How? By a lack of faith. We could limit God. How? By misuse of the thing of prayer. I think we can limit God by our inconsistent living. By not living for Him. Listen to this. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." God here reminds us of his ability. Did you hear it? He has far-reaching hands. Did you hear it? His ears are strong. They can hear and they're tuned in. The problem is not God's hands, ability to reach you. The problem is not God's ears being able to hear you. We are the weak ones. Our iniquities have separated us from our God. So what's he saying? You and your iniquities are limiting the work that these strong hands and these ears can hear what you need and what you need to do. God said, "I can take care of my part, but your sin has separated you from me. And because of that, you're limiting the work that I want to do in your life." Jeremiah 5:25, it says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Huh. In other words, God has some good things for us. We don't get them because we limit him because of the iniquity and the sins that are in our life. There's some that if we would clean up our lives like we should, we'd be amazed at what God could do for us and God could do through us. So many never really go all the way for God. They limit God. They dabble in Christianity. They play a little Christianity here and there, but never, never, never really go all the way for God. Listen to me. You're limiting God in your life. Get that sin out of your life. Get that iniquity out of your life. Get it out of there. Why? Because you're limiting God using you. You're limiting God's involvement in your life. I got to thinking about the story of Peter when Peter followed Jesus afar off at crucifixion time. We know the story. He was following afar off and he warms himself by the devil's fire. While there, he denies Christ and he curses and he lies. And now Peter's got himself in a backslidden condition. Now, we know that after Peter backslid and denied Christ, that he got it right. I believe Peter got it right, and it's not not much time later, you'll find out Peter goes to the place called Pentecost, and oh, Peter preaches a great, great revival, and I'm thrilled about that. We know about that historical revival where 3,000 people were saved and baptized in one day, and it was Peter that was the one that organized that thing, and he stood up and he preached, and the power of God fell upon him, and he did something great. But let me promise you something. Peter's iniquity in some way limited God. My thought was this. God says, "Your iniquity limits me." Well, you say Peter had sinned, and it's not many days later, Peter's preaching on Pentecost. He had 3,000 people saved, and that is marvelous. But I wonder if the plan had not originally been that Peter was supposed to see 5,000 saved. What happened? His iniquity limited God. Now, I'm not downplaying 3,000. That's a pretty good accomplishment. I can't do that, and I'm not going to ever see that happen. But I am here to tell you that God said our iniquities are going to limit his work. And Peter had just been backslidden. More than likely, Peter, he made a comeback. But I'm wondering what Peter could have accomplished if his iniquities had not limited God. Maybe it would have been 5,000. Maybe it would have been 10,000 that he would have had saved. I don't know. But I know this. I know that we limit God. We limit him by a lack of faith. And we limit him by not using the tool of prayer properly. We limit him by our iniquity and our inconsistent living. I also believe this. I believe we limit God because of our stubbornness. Our stubborn wills. Listen to this verse. Matthew chapter 23 verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." You see, this is Jesus speaking here. He speaks to the people of Jerusalem. He loves them and he wanted them. He wanted to pull them to himself. In this passage of scripture, he says, "I sent you prophets and you killed them. I sent you preachers and you stoned them." He said, "I wanted to draw you up close to me, but you would not." Stubbornness kept them from the great things that God wanted for them. Stubbornness kept them. They said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. They limited God. Let me ask you a question. Is your stubbornness limiting God? About what are you being stubborn? What is it that God wants of you? What does God want to accomplish? What does God have for your life? But you're stubborn. You know what He wants. You just won't do it. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Wow. When you and I are stubborn against God, God compares it to witchcraft. Witchcraft. Oh my, God said, your stubbornness is sin. Now, we would think stubbornness, that's just this, you know, maybe has something to do with a characteristic. God is saying, when you're stubborn and you're supposed to do something and you push it away, He said, I see that just like I see witchcraft. Our stubbornness then could limit God. Our stubbornness, Jesus had said, I tried to call the people of Jerusalem. I tried to call them. I tried to pull them in. I tried to pull them in close. I had great things for them. And they would not. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 78:8, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Folks, we need not, let's not be stubborn with God. You say, why? You're limiting God. You're limiting God. There are things that God wants to do for you, but you're stubborn. You're not going to get it done. There are things that God wants to do with you, but you're not going to get it done. Why? You're too stubborn against Him. You've got your will. You've got your plan. This isn't what you want. And you've got a better plan than God. You're being stubborn now. Don't you be stubborn with God. Oh, what God could do for you if you would let Him. Hey, does He have to use you your way? I think there are people in this room. God is using you some, but you're stubborn against Him. And He has to use you your way. God has bigger things for you, but He has to use you your way. Okay, God, I'll give you this part of my life. I will serve you a little, but God, it's not going to be your way. If you're going to use me, you're going to use me my way. My way. Hey, does He have to use you your way? Does He have to use you in your time? God, when I'm good and ready and I'm planning on coming around, God, I'm planning on getting involved here, getting involved there. But when I'm good and ready, God, I'll get back with you. That's the way stubborn people are. Is it, God, you can use me, but you'll follow my plan, not yours. Oh, what God could do for you if you would let Him. But we're stubborn. Oh, what God could do with you if you would let Him. But we're stubborn. You know, I believe this. I believe there are actually people in this room that are fighting God over something. I don't know who you are. I think there are people fighting God over things. I mean, God has a will for you. God has something you know that He wants you to do, a way that He wants you to go, and you're fighting Him over it. You say, what a coincidence that feeling about joining that bus route or getting me a Sunday school class, what a coincidence that feeling just keeps coming up. Might not be a coincidence. Might be that God is speaking to your heart and you're so stubborn, you won't accept what God wants you to do. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We limit Him when we don't have faith in Him. We limit Him when we're shallow in our prayers and we misuse prayer. We limit Him when we're inconsistent in our living and our iniquities. Tie God's hands so He can't do with us what He would like. Hey, we limit Him. We limit Him when we're stubborn and we just won't do what God wants us to do. And then finally, I think there are those that limit Him by not receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. John 1:11 says He came unto His own and His own received Him not. He lived a holy, sinless life that you would be saved. But you're not. You have limited God's salvation. He died for you, but you're not saved. You have limited His salvation. Now, is he the Savior? Absolutely. Is he a Savior of many others? Absolutely. Can he save? Yes, he can. But the problem is, you've limited him. You've tied his hands. He was resurrected for you, but you're not saved. You're limiting him. He's not going to make you get saved. You must choose to do that willingly. He wants you saved, but you've got to want it. He loves you, but you have to accept it. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door." He knocks on your heart for salvation. The only problem is you've got to open the door from your side. And if you don't, you have limited God. He wants to save you. He wants to change your life. He wants to take you to heaven someday, but you can keep him from doing it. That's up to you. Everybody accepts or rejects Jesus Christ for themselves. And if you don't accept him, the God of the universe, whose son died for you, you have limited the thing called salvation in your life. You see, he said, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." It's not a matter of God has less power. He has all the power he's always had. It's us. I put that emergency brake on, went in the house, didn't think a thing of it, being a creature of habit, got up the next morning, went out, got in my car, put it in drive, started to go forward, but I didn't have much power. You could tell something was holding that vehicle back, and at first I didn't recognize what it was. And right away I said, "What's wrong with this truck? What's wrong? What in the world went wrong here? What's up? I can't believe this." And it was everybody's fault but mine. And then it occurred to me, I'm the one that caused the problem. And you and I, hey, that truck had all the horsepower that it had ever had. And the minute I released the emergency brake, we were ready to go with all the power that was available. You see, when you and I limit God, it's not a matter of that God is, his hand is not short. His ears have not grown deaf. His power has not been depleted. We have the emergency brake on. And we are responsible for limiting his work in our lives, in our families, in our ministries, in our church. Let's not be guilty of tying the hands of the great God of the universe. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, let me recommend to you that you get saved and that you get saved tonight. You see, God wants to save you. His Son died for you. His Son was buried for you. His Son was resurrected for you. All of those good things. But if you don't accept it, then salvation, it's nothing to you. You've limited God. He can save you, but you have to let him. Young people that are playing during the invitation like you did this morning, pay attention. If you're not saved, you ought to trust Christ as Savior. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, "I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. I don't want to limit this thing called salvation. I'm willing to accept it." And that's your job. That's all you do is accept it. Who here would say, "I need to be born again"? Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. I've limited God. He can save me, but I'm not letting." How about this? Is there somebody that would say, "You know, preacher, I feel like I have put some restraints on God. I've limited him. Maybe a lack of prayer. Maybe it is stubbornness. I don't know. Maybe it's the iniquity in your life." But who would say, "I fear maybe I have some guilt here in regard to limiting God, but I see it, and I'm going to do what I can to fix it"? Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. That's me"? You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, in a moment you come. If you're not saved, you come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play.